just want to read these definitions to you really fast that Laurie emailed to me. She's a teacher, so she always looks this stuff up and saves me some time. Habit, a well-established trend of the mind. An addiction, a constant, often unconscious, inclination to perform some act. It's acquired through its frequent repetition. Addiction, to give oneself habitually or compulsively. So you go from a habit where without thinking you begin to perform something, begin to do something, until the spirit of addiction comes in, that then it's compulsive. All of a sudden now it's driven. Now you can't stop it. Now it just takes over. Impulsive, inclined to act on impulse, sudden urge, desire, or drive. And it's more to do with an urge than a thought. So when something becomes impulsive, you just do it. Getting into debt, spending. You don't think it through. It was a habit. Then it could become an addiction. Every time you don't feel like you're loved, every time something doesn't go your way, you have to go shopping. It begins to have a comforting effect. It begins to be something you do to feel better about yourself instead of running to God. And then from there, it could get a spirit on it. And now you just have to shop, even if you have major debt, even if it's things you don't need. Then you'll begin to justify why you shop. You know, and really you're trying to have someone love you or like you, but pretty soon you're buying people things they don't need, or maybe they even need them, but you can't afford it. And pretty soon you're getting to letting Satan be in charge of your finances so he can really come in to destroy you. Compulsion, irresistible impulse to act. Regardless of rationale or reason. So when it becomes a compulsion, it's like people who pick themselves. Some of you were in groups today. You know, we had people before who they pick their skin or they bite their nails. That's a compulsion. There's no reason, there's no logic, there's no rational reason. Shopping is habitual and can be addictive because it's actually trying to meet a need. But most people would say there's some thought to it. There's something accomplished by it. Chewing your fingernails, there's absolutely nothing accomplished by it. Same with people who pick, you know, their skin or twirl your hair or those kinds of things. Those are compulsions and impulsive. In other words, there's no rationale behind it. Where some of these other things, there's that there was actually a purposeful choice with a reason. Even when someone first started drinking, they knew that they had a lot of worry and a lot of fear and they didn't want to think about it. So they chose to drink to get away from their worries. You don't choose to bite your fingernails to get away from your worries. So as I'm starting to break this down for later tonight, and some of you try to remind me, I'm seeing different spirits. There's different spirits along these different things. And all of them really have to do with your mind. This compulsive thing totally bypasses thought. So it's a spirit that just operates through you without you having any input thinking-wise. You don't stop and think before you twirl your hair. You don't just sit there and go, oh, maybe this would be an appropriate time to twirl my hair. You know, but for drinking, that's not true. For drinking, that spirit actually makes you think, I need a drink right now. It's thought out. Do you see what I'm saying? So we need to start tearing these things apart to get these different spirits out. So you can start to see the difference in a habit, and it's given into it. Driven, to force into a particular act, usually excessively. Ritual, any detailed method or procedure faithfully or regularly followed. And you can begin to see, as we'll get to tonight, if you think about it, there's a lot of, the Lord says it's okay to have traditions. In the Old Testament, they had some rituals. The demonic forces have rituals. There's a difference between a ritual and a tradition. A tradition is something that you do because it has some kind of meaning personally to you. And truthfully, when we take of the Lord's Supper, it was a tradition that God does bless as a supernatural, you know, truth to take in a communion if you understand what it really means. But in religion, They have rituals. You kneel here, you stand up here, you do this, you cross here, you cross there, you know, whatever. It has no real meaning. It's something that you have bought into a religious spirit for a bondage, as if you have to do this to please God. And Satan loves ritual. Satanism is full of rituals. False religion is full of rituals. If you want to see how strong something is with a religious spirit, see how much ritual they have. And that's why, as the Lord is bringing forth his end time church, which is truly going to make the Jews jealous, I'm seeing some counterfeit of trying to bring ritual instead of the freedom and liberty that we're to have in Christ. And people calling this, this ritual as something that God is in favor of. That we're to take on the Jewish traditions. They're totally, I know people aren't going to like this, but it's not really new for me. It makes no sense when you're free. Why would I go back? And it's so clear in Scripture, Paul says to him, why would we go back and put these rituals on people? Why would we go back when we now have Christ? And we think that's going to make a people envious. Folks, if you go and do what somebody else is doing, it means you're envious of them. Now, the Bible does say, become all things to all people that they might be saved. So I'm not saying that the Holy Spirit could not set up a congregation that he would anoint with some traditions that it might draw in people. But if we actually think that tradition that has been fulfilled in Christ is like a new move of God, we're going into greater liberty and freedom. We're not going back into the bondage of Old Testament before Christ. So you've got to always watch. There always is a reel if you see a counterfeit. I mean, I did hear some testimonies about in some nations, not America, where some rabbis came to a charismatic meeting that did have the traditions, some Jewish traditions within the meetings. Now you got to realize, in these countries, the only church, quote unquote, that they've seen that's Christian is like the Catholic Church or Orthodox Church. So all they ever see is tradition and ritual. That's what they relate to as a church. So for a congregation to then take on Jewish feasts and festivals and this kind of thing from Old Testament, I would see where that would draw people who all they could ever see in the church was traditions and rituals that didn't even make any sense. Do you see what I'm saying? So God is so faithful. It's awesome. But then we have to watch thinking that that's what the next move of God is going to look like. It's just not true. And the way you look at it, is it bondage or is it liberty? Is it being proclaimed as the only way God operates or the next thing? Do you see what I'm saying? Ritual and tradition truly are done away with in the liberty in Christ. Because now it's all about oneness with God. You don't need a symbol to show you what that's like. But it doesn't mean that you won't take communion and really tell God how much you love him in that communion and how you recognize what that bread represents and you recognize what that blood represents. But you know him. And we're going to make the Jews jealous by knowing Christ and revealing him and by walking in his power and his love. I think you're going to make Jesus reveal what it would be like to make them jealous. The blind would see. The lame would walk. The supernatural power that comes from being one with God is going to make people who are really looking for Christ or the Messiah jealous. Not traditions and rituals. So Satan loves to keep us into rituals and tradition. He loves to bring our whole lives into that kind of bondage. And the Bible is very clear. I won't get into all the scriptures, or maybe not any of them, but if you do a word study on traditions, you'll see that they're called traditions in New Testament, and you have more rituals in Old Testament. And he'll say, even the traditions of your father. So traditions are set patterns of behavior that mean something. But traditions are to remind you of something that has happened in the past or to foreshadow something that you're waiting on. And truthfully, in Christ, we need to quit waiting. We've entered into that place with him. The Sabbath day rest is a foreshadow of a true Sabbath in Christ, where you go back as if you were in the garden, like Adam and Eve were before the fall, and you just constantly walk with God. And then truthfully, every day is the Sabbath. God is in charge of your life. There's the balance in your life. There's that time spent with him. Since the fall, okay, before the fall, the Spirit of God lived in people, and he ordered their steps. Think about that. Everything you did up until the fall, God was with you doing it. He was in it. After the fall, there were traditions and patterns and things the Lord set up to help the people understand who he was, stay holy to the place that they could before Christ died for our sins, and to keep the people safe. And so came the laws, and so came the traditions and all the things to remind us of a day when everything would be fulfilled in Christ. And so after the fall, we began to be people who were no longer led of the Spirit, and now we needed guidelines. Now we needed tradition to feel safe. Now we needed ways to act, because now the Holy Spirit wasn't just in charge of it all.